start moving together here. We've got a lot to cover and not all night, so thank you. All right, I'm going to call. We had one patient card that we failed to get to that got put aside, so I apologize. I'm going to ask Vicki Turan to come up, please.
My name is Vicki Turan, and I'm here on behalf of myself and my children. We've had everything from brain tumor to Chiari malformation. That's where the brain sink down into the spine, and numerous other severe back problems. I can't even name the things that's wrong with the back, herniated disc, everything. But what I want to say is, how can the pharmacist, like my pharmacist, 1 month he may do our prescription, next month we have to pay $800 for him. And this has gone on through the years. And if you got the money, you can get your medicine. If you don't, if he's in a good mood, he might not make you pay that month. And also, the military is telling my doctors what they think that I need, and my husband. He's a Vietnam vet, was in Vietnam 19 months, and the military is telling us, the pharmacist, how many pills we need or don't need. They don't have our medical records or anything. And they made the doctor go down in our dose severely, and we're in pain constantly. And I just hope that, and we did not know nothing about this meeting today, if I hadn't called the pharmacy hotline in Tallahassee, I wouldn't have known about this, and I believe it should have been advertised a lot more, because it's, this whole hotel would be probably filled. And just on behalf of all the patients and people in severe pain, if you have not had pain in your life, you don't know what it's like to live every day. Your life is ruined. You have no life, no nothing. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. All right, we're going to, one category we didn't have any cards filled out was the wholesale distributor perspective, but we do have a committee member that comes from that side of the world, so I'm going to ask him to give a prepared statement on behalf of the wholesalers, and then we'll go to the committee to open up for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Gary Cacciatore, and I'm Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Associate Chief Regulatory Counsel for Cardinal Health. I also serve as chair of the Florida Drug Wholesale Distributor Advisory Council for the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, but I am here today representing Cardinal Health and not the Advisory Council or DBPR. And I also want to make it clear that my comments today may not necessarily reflect the views of all wholesale drug distributors. But even with that caveat, I think my position with Cardinal Health and my experience in this area will be beneficial to the committee, and I hope I can offer a clearer understanding of the drug distributor's role and what our regulatory obligations are. Let me start out by saying that prior to my work as an attorney, I was a pharmacist, and I am still a licensed pharmacist in the state of Florida, so I appreciate the complexity of this issue and the difficulty that pharmacists face in trying to meet their responsibility under the so-called corresponding responsibility doctrine, while still ensuring that legitimate patients have access to the medications that they need. I think it's important to understand from the outset that distributors do not prescribe, nor do we dispense drugs directly to patients. And while we don't prescribe or dispense drugs directly to patients, we do share a common goal with drug manufacturers, with doctors, pharmacists, policymakers, regulators, and law enforcement officials to help ensure there's a safe supply of medicines while keeping prescription painkillers out of the hands of people who may use them for purposes other than which they were intended. The distribution industry brings expertise in information technology, security, logistics, and diversion prevention, which actually helps law enforcement locate and prosecute people who attempt to divert prescription drugs from the legitimate supply chain. Distributors that are registered with the DEA are required by regulation to verify that the customers to whom they ship controlled substances to are properly registered with the DEA. Distributors are also required to detect suspicious orders for controlled substances and inform the DEA of those suspicious orders. And suspicious orders are defined as orders of unusual size, or orders deviating substantially from a normal pattern, and orders of unusual frequency. In addition to that regulation, DEA has directed letters to all distributors stating that if a distributor determines that an order is suspicious, that order may not be shipped and the suspicion must be reported to the local DEA field division office. The DEA further advised distributors that routinely filling suspicious orders without first ascertaining that the orders will not be diverted is failing to maintain effective controls against diversion, which then could lead to the loss of the distributor's DEA registration. So in accordance with those DEA's letters to their distributors, at Cardinal Health, we closely monitor our orders for controlled substances. We refuse to fill suspicious orders, and we take appropriate steps to determine whether the drugs we distribute are being diverted. Now, time's not going to permit me to explain every aspect of our order monitoring system. The major component of our system for detecting suspicious order does include placing individualized limits on each controlled substance drug family. And a drug family would be like all oxycodone products or all hydrocodone products, et cetera, that we distribute to a particular customer. At Cardinal Health, we've even taken steps to put limits on particular strengths within a drug family, such as oxycodone 15 milligram or 30 milligrams, which are more highly abused substances. We also have established metrics to evaluate ordering patterns against multiple drug families, such as evaluating purchases of certain narcotic analgesics or benzodiazepines or certain drug families. We consider the drug combinations that DEA has identified as being widely diverted, such as oxycodone, alprazolam, and carisoprodol. These factors and many others play a role in our decisions to service our customers in setting the limits on the distribution of controlled substances. The question, several people mentioned arbitrary thresholds, and I want to make it very clear that the limits or thresholds that we put on a customer's ability to purchase controlled substances are anything but random or arbitrary. We have complex and sophisticated statistical methodologies that we use to determine thresholds for customers, and these thresholds are customized for each individual customer and customized by each individual drug family. At Cardinal Health, our system relies on prescription volume. So the more accurate information that we have from a pharmacy's total prescription volume and the other information that we request from that customer, then the more accurate our thresholds are going to be. Now, we understand that many pharmacies will have an above average utilization of controlled substances, and our statistical methodology helps to ensure that the volume of controlled substances we distribute to a customer is consistent with legitimate dispensing of controlled substances based on our knowledge of the customer's business. Some customers may have a legitimate need for controlled substances that deviate from our predicted statistical values. In these cases, customers must provide verifiable, compelling reasons to justify a higher utilization of controlled substances. I think the key in these situations is communication between the pharmacies and the wholesalers. Wholesalers need to understand why a pharmacy's ordering pattern may be changing, and in particular, why a pharmacy needs to increase their purchases of controlled substances. For example, if a pharmacy signs a new contract to service a nursing home facility, or a hospice facility, which will result in increased demand for certain controlled substances, the pharmacy needs to communicate that information to their wholesaler in advance of that increased demand. I think another thing that will assist with ensuring pharmacies have adequate inventory to meet their patients' needs is, to the extent possible, pharmacies should try to purchase most of their prescription drugs from a single wholesaler. Doing this allows the wholesaler to obtain a more accurate view of the pharmacy's purchases and dispensing, so we can compare the pharmacy's controlled substance purchases to their non-controlled substances purchases, which is another factor that DEA has stated that wholesalers should be aware of when determining whether or not a pharmacy's orders are suspicious. DEA has also emphasized that distributors must perform due diligence in knowing their customers in order to have a meaningful suspicious order monitoring program. I can tell you our quality and regulatory affairs group for this area alone consists of over 35 people. And this team works to learn about our customers through a variety of means. We learn through about our customers through data and statistical analysis. We also learn about our customers by requesting and obtaining information from them about their practice. We conduct site visits of our customers. These site visits can be done by investigators that we have on our staff. Sometimes our distribution center has compliance officers we send out. Sometimes we hire third-party compliance consultants, and even our sales force will help do site visits to our customers. These site visits help us to determine if there are any observable red flags or warning signs of diversion taking place at that pharmacy. During these site visits, information may be obtained from the pharmacy if needed, and that's an important part of knowing our customers. It helps us to establish reasonable thresholds and appropriate limits of controlled substances. And we do expect our customers to cooperate with us in these matters, since these activities are designed to meet our legal and obligations and DEA's expectations. At Cardinal Health, we've also been working hard to help our customers meet their obligations to prevent the diversion of controlled substances. We have put together many educational pieces that describes the pharmacist's role under the corresponding responsibility doctrine, as well as checklists of red flags that pharmacists should be aware of. I've actually brought samples of some of those documents here today if anyone would like to take a look at those. We also send speakers out, expert speakers out to pharmacy groups to lecture on these topics. In the past 18 months, we have done presentations at 10 different state and national pharmacy meetings discussing these very topics. Cardinal Health also participates in broad coalitions to address the prescription drug abuse problem, such as the Anti-Diversion Industry Working Group, which in conjunction with the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, produced an educational video for pharmacists to help them identify warning signs of prescription drug abuse. We've also been an active participant in the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy's Stakeholders Coalition, which recently released a consensus document on challenges and red flag warnings related to prescribing and dispensing of controlled substances. Cardinal Health is also a founding member of the Alliance to Prevent the Abuse of Medicines, which is a nonprofit partnership of key stakeholders in the prescription drug supply chain that have joined together to develop and offer policy solutions to address prescription drug abuse. In addition, since 2009, Cardinal Health Foundation has invested over $4 million nationwide in partnerships and grants to leverage awareness, education, and prevention efforts in the fight against prescription drug abuse. In summary, wholesale drug distributors play a critical role in ensuring that patients have access to the prescription drugs by providing millions of prescription drug products, including controlled substances, to pharmacies, hospitals, clinics, and other locations on a daily basis. Our goal is to ensure that our customers have the products they need to meet their patients' medical needs, but we also take steps to prevent the diversion of controlled substances, and we are required to have systems to identify and report suspicious orders to the DEA. I think the best way for pharmacies to ensure that they have the products they need is to maintain regular communication with their wholesaler regarding any change in their practices or services that will require increased orders of controlled substances, and by pharmacists meeting their obligations to ensure that the products that they dispense are being used for legitimate medical purposes. And I'm looking forward to participating in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. All right. So, well, we've heard a lot. I think what we're going to do now is open it up to our committee members. I'd request that you just raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you. And let's focus on, we've identified a number of the areas of the problems, and now I think we're trying to listen to ideas and thoughts around how we start consolidating this and getting a strategy around solutions. So with that being said, I'll open it up to committee members. Mr. Adams.
I have a question. Does your company have access to eForce?
No, we do not.
Well, if that is the case, then you're using statistics to determine as to whether patients will get their medications or not.
We are using statistics to determine what we believe is an adequate supply of controlled substances to meet that pharmacy's demand, but they're based on individual data from that pharmacy, from their prescription.
Well, what happens if the pharmacist has a valid prescription from a doctor? What you're effectively doing is limiting that doctor's ability to get medications to the patient, are you not?
What we're doing is meeting our obligation that the DEA has told us, and that is to set up a system to identify suspicious orders.
Mr. Chairman, a point of procedure on law, please. When you're going to address, don't address each other, please address the chairman and be recognized to have to open discussion back and forth. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So I appreciate it. I think one of the things, I've made a lot of notes here, and I'm not going to go through them all, but was that we've got multiple sources of information that the DEA uses, that wholesalers use, e-force, and they're not all talking to each other, and they're all right. Not sharing information. So that's clearly an opportunity, for a lack of a better word. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.